I suppose the deficit of bricks and mortar accommodation plays into that, and there was a major report on that. It was leaked or seen by a colleague of ours in RTE, Tommy Mescal, and it's been see you've seen the executive summary was seen by him. You've seen the entirety of the report now yourself. It's quite wide ranging. So,
Yeah, a lot in it.
in brief, if you
in
would,
brief,
what's
if
in
I,
it?
I'm not going to go through the 83 recommendations and 500 actions, but look, it doesn't spell out great news for the government. It's highlighting a lot of inadequacies in housing policy, and it's recommending a lot of things that perhaps some of the opposition have been saying for a long time now. You know, there's been one couple of recommendations that kind of jumped out to me was like a change in standards to rental accommodation in private and cost rental homes to allow accommodations to be let without white goods appliances. So this is something that had been floated before by government. Would people be willing to, you know, rent or buy properties that don't have the fancy finishes, don't have the marble bathroom or the high-spec kitchen, might not even have a washing machine or a dishwasher or, you know, something, I suppose, in other European countries that's kind of commonplace. I know in Germany, a lot of people take their kitchens with them when they move rental accommodation. I remember when that idea was first floated a number of months ago, there was pretty much outrage that we were looking to lower standards, perhaps, of rental accommodation. It's also urging for market research to be carried out to examine whether people would be open to buying back those paired back. Those properties. It's calling for an executive to sort of oversee housing delivery. That kind of jumped out to me because it seems like it's calling for almost a COVID-style response to the housing crisis, something that will, you know, free up the back, free up, you know, any of the red tape bureaucracy and actually push delivery. But look, it's pretty stark in its reading in terms of highlighting that there needs to be a radical policy reset. So that's not great news for the Housing for All policy, which the government, I suppose, has been saying is working all this time. All you know, it has to be noted as well that while they say that they do acknowledge that the housing targets will have to change, but like they've been saying that for a year, and we haven't heard much more about when they might be coming. Taoiseach Simon Harris said that will be this year that we will be getting them. We've heard promises of 50,000. The Housing Commission have said, I think, 80,000. So look, where we land on that, I think, you know, that's for another day's work,
All right.
perhaps.
John Cummins, you're a Fine Gael's housing spokesperson in the Seanad. Let's look, I suppose, at the Housing Commission's report.
Well, I haven't seen it, first off. Christina has seen it. I haven't
okay,
seen
but
it.
I suppose it's been extensively reported on. There's no reason, I suppose, to disbelieve any of the reporting on it. There's been, you know, a number of people have seen the entirety of the report, and the executive summary has been reported in detail. And it says that there's an underlying housing deficit of up to 256,000 homes, even if you took the median figure on that. There's an additional 23,500 homes would need to be delivered every year on top of the new housing targets in order to get on top of the housing situation in Ireland. That's a target of 56,000 per year. Now, the government's going to revise its housing targets in the autumn, we're told, but Simon Harris's best guess at the Fine Gael Ardesh was to say that 50,000 houses per annum would be needed. So even in an informal revised target to the party faithful, it's 6,000 short of what the Housing Commission says.
Well, I suppose there's a few things in this. So there is that review of the housing targets that has been underway for quite some time. It's been informed by the census data that was published last year. The ERSI are doing a body of work, and obviously now the Housing Commission data will feed into that as well. It'll be published, and that those revised figures will be published in Q3 of this year. That has been said by the Housing Minister previously. It was reaffirmed by the Taoiseach today. It is a fact that there's 500 first-time buyers every single week in this country that are purchasing their first homes. It is a fact that we've come from building less than 5,000 homes in 2013 to building nearly 33,000 homes. And it is a fact that we have record commencement data already this year, 30,000 units that have commenced construction. And if we compare that to last year, in the whole of last year, we had 32,000 housing units commenced. And the reason for that is we've implemented activation measures like the development levy waiver and Éiscéir and refund scheme that opposition parties opposed, and they have driven commencements, and our commencement data will be our completion data for next year.
But by your own admission, what you've said there, and even though, you know, of the new homes completed last year, slightly above the target for overall national completions, it's still well short of even what Simon Harris says is needed, and it's certainly short of what the Housing Commission says is needed.
Well, I would point, obviously, to the commencement data. We now have 56,000 housing units commenced in the last 12 months. So 30,000 already this year. So our commencement data is exceptionally strong. Your commencements become your completions. So, you know, those figures that you're talking about in and around the 50,000, that is where we're at in terms of commencement data. And we'll continue to drive that forward. But we won't do it by abolishing measures that have been proven to work, like Help to Buy, like First Home Scheme, that opposition parties want to abolish.
All right. Louise O'Reilly, you're one of the opposition parties that has raised concerns about Help to Buy, and you've alleged inflationary pressures and the like. But the amount of commencements, the upcreep in the building output in the state so far, are things going in the right direction, would you concede?
I think the government's own report tells them that it's not. The government's commissioned a panel of experts to tell them about the reality that I see in my advice clinics in Swords and Balbriggan day in and day out. Their housing policy is failing, and the 14,000 people who are homeless is evidence of that. The fact that house prices have doubled since this government came into office is evidence that everything they do appears to make matters worse rather than better. And, you know, I think, you know, the report accuses the government of a failure to treat housing as a critical social and economic priority. Well, I can tell you now, that is how my constituents feel. That
do you welcome the report? From what you've read, would you? I mean, it's been reported on quite extensively. Do you welcome the
report?
Conclusions
will be
you've
telling
so far?
From what I have seen so far. And I haven't read it, and I am relying on media reports, which I am assuming are accurate. And certainly they weren't contradicted by anyone in government. So what I am seeing supports what we have been saying to the government for a very long time now, that their plan is not working, that it is driving up house prices, that it is driving up the cost of rent, that it's locking people out of home ownership. And the fact that there are 40% of people under the age of 34
I'll come back
trapped
to
in Thomas. Their parents' back bedroom is evidence that this government really does not either have any interest in or any capacity to resolve the housing crisis that they have created.
Duncan Smith, the targets that are laid out in the Housing Commission report, I think you're possibly, is Labour the only party that's overshot those targets in some of your recent pronouncements? But they say 56,000 houses per annum. Would you say that that's in and around the ballpark of what's needed, or would you still stick to your guns that higher targets are needed?
2 years ago, we said 50,000 houses a year were needed for 10 years as part of our million homes, as well as 50,000 retrofits per year. And the government and the minister not only disagreed with us, but like mocked us for it. And now, like, we didn't pick those figures out of the air. They came from the ESRI. They've been backed up now, more or less, with the Housing Commission. So, as the Labour Party, feel vindicated in terms of what we've been saying the last couple of years. The government haven't been listening. They're not listening to opposition, whether it's ourselves, whether it's Sinn Féin or anyone else. And I think the Housing Commission's report is the nail in the coffin of Housing for All as a government policy document. I mean, it was laughable today that in the government's own time, they decided to present statements on the progress of Housing for All. And it was like it was almost mortifying for them, given how damning the Housing Commission's report is. And the Housing Commission isn't like a left-wing think tank. It's not. It is a broad spectrum of stakeholders, ranging from trade union officials right through to developers. And they have agreed that there's a major reset needed in housing policy. As the Labour Party and we in opposition have said, homelessness figures keep going up. average rents, house prices, everything's going up. Housing for All is failing.
Okay, all right. John Cummins, the people that you're talking about who are acquiring homes, possibly, you know, availing of some of those Help to Buy schemes, they're people who
they're
buy...
real people.
Sure, no, and absolutely. But they're by and large people who are coming from at least some means, if modest, already. But the people who are in homelessness are people who would be looking for social housing, would be looking for cost rental housing and the like. And the government, while the overall build in the state is over the target of 30,000 on social homes, it's below target.
So we delivered over 8,000 new build social homes last year, 4,000 affordable through the First Home Scheme, cost rental and the Affordable Purchase Scheme. Just today in Waterford there was 25 affordable purchase homes.
What's the average price of an affordable home?
Well, you see, this question is always asked. It's relative to the means of the individual in terms of them purchasing the property. It's relevant to the location where the property is being built. It's the type of property that's being built. So Sinn Féin can come on and they can say, we'll build homes for 250,000
Just with respect,
homes,
there is no... It's not like the UK where there's a London premium for key workers, you know, and across a number of jobs. A teacher's a teacher in Ireland. A cop's a cop. They get paid the same thing.
But if you allow me to explain, so under the Affordable Purchase Scheme, so right now at this moment in time, there are 62 homes under the Affordable Purchase Scheme available in Waterford. The market price of those units is 300,000. There can be an equity stake of 75,000 taken in that property, making that the affordable purchase price of 225,000. The person can also get 22,500 under the Help to Buy, meaning that the mortgage that couple or individual requires is less than 200,000 euro to purchase that home. But importantly, under our scheme, they can purchase that house. They'll own it outright at a future point in time. They won't be restricted in whom they can sell it on to, like Sinn Féin are proposing. It won't be a leasehold like their model. It's real home ownership, but it's supporting people at the point that they need it.
All right, Louise Roy, you're not convinced.
Yeah, fair play to John now coming on here trying to blame the opposition for the government's housing.
Are you trying to say that that's not happening in Waterford?
Don't interrupt me.
Are you trying to say that that's not happening in
Waterford? Just one voice at a time now.
Don't interrupt me. Let me speak.
One voice at a time.
So I say, fair play to John coming in here to try to blame the opposition for the government's housing policy. But of course, we know the reason why in my constituency, for an example, and the Taoiseach admitted it today on the floor of the Dáil, the reason why people are locked out of home ownership and why there is an affordability crisis as well as a housing crisis that they have created is because in my area, they expect us to believe that an affordable home is over €500,000. Now, that is simply... Some the figures of people who are not in touch with reality. There is nothing affordable about a €500,000 home. And no disrespect to John, my constituents don't want to live in Waterford. They're quite happy to live in North County Dublin, but unfortunately they cannot get out of their parents' back bedroom because they cannot afford
so you're
to
going,
buy
so you're a going house. To so you're going to deliver homes for €250,000 in Dublin, and it's going to be a leasehold option that the people will never own after purchasing the house with a mortgage.
Okay, we're going to one voice at a time.
And
Christine,
you be honest
Finn's
with people and admit that affordability has, you have no interest in affordability.
All right. I just gave you an example of an affordable home in Waterford.
One voice at a time. Christina Finn.
As someone who is a renter and would like to one day own my own house, as someone in their late 30s, this is something that I look at extensively and talk about with a lot of my friends. And the issue with the Housing for All policy is it should have been a living, breathing document that changed throughout time. It was published at a certain point in time. Housing crisis has got more difficult. The affordability issue, I don't think anyone around this table, if the government at the end of the day can deliver 56,000 houses, I think everybody at this table, no matter what party you're from, is going to welcome that if we're on the way to meeting and delivering houses. The problem is the affordability issue. We've been told that it's supply is what's going to drive down prices. We haven't seen that in 2007 when some of the we were building more houses than ever. The prices were still astronomical. And the question here is enough being done on affordability, even with cost rental? A great initiative. This report says that a lot more needs to be done with that. It needs to be ramped up. But we're talking about cost rental things being rolled out by the housing minister. That's, you know, 1,500, 1,600, 1,800 euro a month. That's still, for someone even like myself, someone who works, earns a good wage, that's still a difficult price to pay.
Right.
I have to say, though, as well, on the Sinn Féin side, in terms of the opposition, from someone that's looking to buy, there is a vacuum of information in terms of, yes, it is €500,000 to buy a house at this point in time. If Sinn Féin does come in to government, you know, next year, there is a question mark about what will be done within the time where the Sinn Féin initiatives, which they promise are going to bring down prices, what is going to be done for the people in the interim if those help whether they do increase prices, but there is a vacuum of information there.
I just want to come back to the Housing Commission report, Duncan Smith. It's reported that in the report, one of the proposals is to ramp up the area of social and affordable housing, to merge them over time, to have a greater rental stock, to have a social housing act that in the future would rule out privatisation of the social housing stock. Is that something you'd welcome?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we need. That's the rebalancing we need in terms of our housing system. Because what we have at the moment is a housing market that is developer-led, to use that oft-used phrase, but it's a very accurate phrase. And if you look at affordable housing at the moment in the constituency, myself and Louise share, she mentioned one element of it, one aspect of it. But if you look at two-bedroom mid-terrace houses on the government's own affordable housing scheme, one in Rush, one in Lusk, in terms of the small amount that are on that are coming, one is 232,000 and the other is 295,000. There's a 63,000 euro differential in the cost of those two very similar properties in two villages that are literally a stone's throw away from each other. That makes absolutely no sense. That it comes from the developer leading the government and the local authorities in terms of the pricing of these units. So yeah, we need a huge rebalancing towards the state. We need a proper public housing system that's going to build public housing on public land that's going to be genuinely affordable. Ideally, I'd love to see a state-led housing building system like the trade union movement are calling for, that's going to develop and build housing over a long period of time. But we feel a million years away from that.
All right, John Cummins, just on the social and affordable homes, and particularly, you know, on getting people out of emergency accommodation, putting a roof of their own over the head, either in, you know, a home ownership scheme or in something that is affordable to them with rent that matches their means. Where is the big idea that's going to deliver for those people in both the government's plan and, you know, coming down the tracks in terms of the proportion of the 50,000 homes that Simon Harris is talking about?
So if you look at what was delivered last year, 32,700, about 12,000 of those were social and affordable homes. I note in the report, or the reports of the report that were published today, that they were calling for 20% social and affordable. There was 33% social and affordable delivery last year across our streams of housing. In the Housing Act that was published 2 years ago, we now have a Part 5 allocation of 20% for every private development that's delivered, 10% social, 10% affordable. So we actually are...
And this report said it should be more like 20% social.
But what I'm saying is there was actually 33% social and affordable delivery of our housing output last year. So we need to continue on that vein because we do need to see the output of rental units at affordable prices, affordable purchase options for people. But essentially, to continue the supports, and Christina touched on it there in relation to first home and the help to buy scheme. Combined, they've assisted over 50,000 individuals and families across this country, and that can't be just dismissed.
Okay.
And the opposition parties are saying that tomorrow morning that they'd abolish those schemes. People still need their deposits under the central bank.
I do want to come back to the issue of social housing, because if you look at the overall cohort of housing built in the state in 2023 that was being talked about today, 11,642 of those were apartments. These are figures that your own party colleague Richard Bruton were talking about in the Dáil today. 72% of the 12,500 homes built in Dublin last year were apartments. 82% of the homes under construction in Dublin now are apartments. Mm. And 6% of the sales of apartments now, only 6% are going to owner-occupiers. So the rest of them are, you know, given the funding model, are being bought to rent. So that's, you know, if you strip those out of the housing delivery targets, it's not all rosy, is
it? And that's why a lot of those schemes that approved housing bodies and the Land Development Agency have actually stepped in to fill the void where funds were providing money to build those units, and they'll be provided for cost rental units at a discount of market
rent.
What
the problem is they get to set any of the new builds that are built for apartments. They basically get to set whatever rent they want.
But the Land Development Agency and the approved housing bodies have to do so under the cost rental scheme that they're 25% below comparable
market rents. Yeah, but the majority of those are not the case. They're private developers that get to say, okay, well, you know, I'll build this and I'll charge, you know, there's new bills going up, they look great, apartments, would love to live with them in the middle of the city, and they're, you know, over $2,500 to rent. And this report does call for radical change. I think they mentioned a rent reference sort of scheme where they obviously want to get the government to grapple with this issue of basically developers being able to set whatever they want, and then that sets the market. That's the baseline where we go from. There's no downward rents here in terms of a developer in that case. Once that new build rental apartment in Dublin City is set by a developer at a certain price, right. That's what it is.
Louise O'Reilly, the going back to the proposal in the Housing Commission report, that effectively there would be a permanent block of social housing that would never be privatised. I mean, a lot of people who grew up in mixed areas of accommodation in Dublin, the housing changed from being social stock into ultimately home ownership stock, and maybe they sold the house and moved on. Could you see that being a politically popular move to have effectively a block of housing in the state that will never move out of state ownership?
Well, I think the mistakes that were made with the tenant purchase scheme, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with people who are on ordinary incomes, you know, who may not be able to afford a mortgage at the start of their careers, wanting and aspiring to own their own home. I think that's that. And I know plenty of people in my own family, my close family, who have done just that. But the difficulty is the state did not maintain an appropriate level of social housing stock. So nothing was replaced when it was purchased. There was no replacement homes put in.
So you're saying it mightn't be the same house that stays in state ownership, but that there would be like-for-like replacement?
I think there needs to be an acceptance. I mean, this is what the report has found, is that the government have neglected to take account of pent-up demand and the lived reality and experience of people who are trying and struggling to rent or indeed to buy.
Although you'd appreciate it if social housing is going to be built on state land. The state land on which that would be built is not an infinite resource if that housing was to be ultimately enter private ownership at some point down the line.
Yeah, I think we're a long way away from running out of land, Colm. I think what we have run out of is patience with this government.
Duncan Smith.
The problem with the tenant purchase scheme was, well, first of all, an awful lot of the large estates that were built in the days gone by that we all grew up in, or our families grew up in, there was no mix. It was all social housing. So you had tenant purchase schemes come in to kind of retrofit some kind of mix into the community. What we have now is local authorities buying back houses that they sold 20, 30 years ago. That's happening in local authorities all over Dublin and probably all over the country.
You know, at a given point in the state's history, they did have, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, the, you know, Crumlin, Drimna, Cabna, Ocabra, all those areas of the city were a mix. There were some people bought them as affordable housing and other people bought them or other people rented them.
About the ideology behind tenant purchase as it evolved from the 60s in the UK right through to the Thatcherite and how that impacted over here, if we're talking about that. That's what happened. It was like, oh, we need to create mixes in these estates. Now, what the state is trying to do is create a mix through all these schemes at source when estates are being built. But when we build like traditional social housing, they should remain with the state. We can't go down the tenant purchase road again, but we need a whole mix of schemes. Cost rental is the biggest cod out there of all the schemes at the moment for reasons that Christina outlined just there in terms of the developers setting the rent. And we're locking young workers into rents of
16, 17, 1800 for 30 years. That's not the spirit of cost rental. So we actually need a below cost rental model.
You need a state subsidy, do you?
We need a state subsidy. We need a below cost rental model. So so we can't get into the situation again where we're building to ultimately sell on, and then what we're seeing now, ultimately the state buying back, paying twice for the same property. We are so badly broken in terms of our housing system in this country. I welcome this document from what I've seen from the reports, but we feel light years away from implementing its recommendations.
All right, John, but when the government tried to introduce a subsidy in order to reduce the cost of apartment development, which is exceptionally expensive because you can't phase apartment development, fire regs, all of the rest of it, it was criticised by both Labour and Sinn Féin. They said you shouldn't be subsidising, even though we were subsidising the purchaser to be able to purchase that unit at a lower price. They didn't support the Croí Cónaithe Cities Fund.
And 6%, as Colm has just outlined there, 6% of the apartments built were sold to owner-occupiers, meaning 94% of
them
weren't.
But I'm on about the Croí Cónaithe Cities
Fund.
And
I'm talking about people who live in
opposed.
People okay, who live in this state we, who want got, to aspire to own.
We've got a response from that.
Forget about it under this government.
Let's let the listener's voice in here on this. Twice as many social houses could be built, excuse me, if they weren't so high spec. They need to be basic, warm, dry, no bells and whistles necessary, says Maria. The first home scheme is not affordable. Once the interest kicks in, it's effectively a second mortgage, so more debt, whatever way you look at it, says Eugene. I have two daughters heading off to Australia tomorrow. They have to go to work for better pay. They can't afford rent in Ireland, says another texter. Government parties always tell us that housing is being sorted. Just be patient and wait another little while. Landlords are laughing all the way to the bank, says another texter. And somebody tweeting us on at Late Debate RTE, emergency action on housing carries considerable risks of repeating Priory Hall and other defective units, says somebody else tweeting us there. Duncan Smith, the spec, finally, the spec on housing. Is there an argument there on, I'm not talking about, you know, unsafe housing, but is there an argument there on the spec of housing that in the interests of getting it up and out quickly, that maybe that needs to be looked at.
I get very queasy when you're talking in this direction, and like to you know, punch down on the standards of any home, I don't think is good. And right, the state should be a leader in providing good homes.
But that's a reasonably concise no. John Cummins?
The more spec that you put into a property, the higher obviously it costs. What I haven't seen from local authorities across the country is their use of the single stage approval process, which is there for local authorities to use. We hear people talking about the four stage approval process. There is a single stage approval process for developments of 6 million or less. There has literally been a handful of developments across the entire state that have used that single stage approval process because they want the protection of the department by going through the four stage approval process. So we can all sit here and say that we want the homes to be delivered quicker, but if local authorities are not taking what is already there in terms of the single stage approval process up to 6 million, well then questions do have to be asked, and that's where the Housing Delivery Coordination Office comes in, that's where the housing agency comes in, and that's where the department comes in to ask the questions of the local authorities, why aren't they availing of what is already there by government.
All right, Louise O'Reilly.
Well, Colm, I was born in social housing. And it wasn't massively fancy, but it was decent. And it was somewhere where my mother and father could afford so that they could put down roots, they could start their family, they could build a life for themselves. I think that maybe we're losing sight of this. A home is, it's not just the bricks and mortar. It is the capacity to stop worrying about where your kids are going to be going to school or where you're going to be able to live. And I mean, I note that John there has moved on from blaming the opposition to blaming the local authorities. At some point, the government are going to have to accept responsibility for the thousands of people that they have locked out of home ownership, for the people who will emigrate because they cannot see a future for themselves here because they cannot get somewhere affordable to live, for the people who will tonight sleep in emergency accommodation, and for the kids who can't ask their friends at school back for a play date because there isn't the room or because they're living in a bed and breakfast. So, you know, at some point the government will have to own up and take responsibility for the housing crisis that they created, and there is nobody, certainly not not me, and I don't think anybody out there who believes that the people who caused this crisis are also somehow magically going to be the ones to fix it. They can't.
Right. Louise, you want to ignore the fact that 30,000 homes have commenced construction in the first 5 months,
four and a half months.
You want to ignore that fact.
They can't live in a commencement.
Do you accept that commencements become completion figures? Do you accept that?
Come here, I tell you.
Do
now.
You accept
Come
that?
Come here, I tell you now. Do you accept?
No, genuinely, it's a genuine question.
That
you
there are
14,000
reasons why your policy is failing, and own up to that, and be honest. Right. Well, okay. The minister actually refers. Sorry, can I just address
just
this?
Because
the minister,
well,
I'm not being dishonest at all, and don't accuse me of that. Sorry, the minister said this on the news today. In the small bit that I heard,
figures are very strong.
He said that the commencements,
you can't, because it's positive.
Just let me finish. The rate of commencements will slow down now, he said. Will slow down now, he said. And we will see that appreciably, because we can't live in commencements, as they move on to completions. So commencements are not completions. And in fact, commencements will now slow down so that
commencement
won't
become a completion.
All right, okay,
now.
We're going to leave it there. We're going to move on. We have another couple of topics to cover this evening.